Blog Talk Radio.
Got my walking shoes on. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I'm walking down this lonely road. But at least the scenery is beautiful. And no matter what I do, I can't stop walking, no. I know it's the only way to go. And if I keep walking, I'ma be okay, It's not always about knowing why. Sometimes it's all about knowing what. And that's enough to keep you walking every day. Yeah, I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking, Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking, Always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep on walking, walking shoes. Hey, I tell you when you got a made up mind. The winter feels like summertime, In the night to see the light of day. Cause I've been blind for way too long, and you can't take my light away. Even though all my times are half the time, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace, so knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way. Step three, step one, step two, step three.
Walking shoes.
I was the light unto my path, the lamp unto my feet. These shoes, my shoes.
Walking shoes.
Walking towards the promise. Walking towards better land. Said I believe.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Toda Abayah for the blessing of life this day. Toda Abayah for the blessing of your son, Yahushua. Toda Abayah for everything, Father, that you have done for us. The little, the great, and all in between. Toda Abayah for being faithful to answer our prayers. Toda Abayah for lifting us up, Father, when we need it uplifting, Father. Father, thank you also for chastising us when we needed chastisement, Father. Thank you, Father, for being a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Thank you for being that fire by night, that cloud by day. Father, thank you for giving us your precious son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Father, the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Thank you for washing us clean with his precious blood. Father, as we start this journey, Father, into your word, my sincere prayer is, Father, first and foremost, that you forgive me for my sins that I've committed against you, Father, for failing you in various ways, Father. Father, for not having faith in you sometimes, Father. Father, for not crying out to you sometimes, Father. Father, for turning to the left and to the right sometimes, Father, and sometimes even turning my back towards you, Abba. I ask that you forgive me for that, Father. Forgive me for my sins, Father. And Father, I thank you for the covering that you have been merciful enough to give unto all of us and Beth Yahweh congregation, Father, for showing us in various ways, Father, that you love us, that you lead us, that you guide us, that you care for us, Father. We thank you, Father, for healing Ema. And even though she still continues with certain struggles, Father, that are not of her own doing, Father, but being in the care of uncaring people, for being in the care of people who have not taken their role seriously, Father. But Father, we know that you are merciful, Father. We know that you are mighty, Father. And we know that you still look over, that you still cover, and that you still protect our beloved Ema, Father, through the struggles that she has been experiencing, Father. Father, I want to thank you for me, Father, what you have done for me with my daughter, who we call Chomi. Those who know her and those who have known her and those who love her, don't call her by her government name. Don't call her by her given name. We call her as Chomi. And I thank you, Father, for what you have done in her life, Father, for answering the prayers of me, her father, and her mother, and this congregation, and even answering her own prayers, Father. Father, for showing us, Father, that nothing is ever hopeless with you, Father. Nothing is ever hopeless, devoid of hope, without hope, Father, and that you are mighty, Father. And that, Father, one of the things that I love about this walk with you, I love about this relationship with you, I love about this journey with you, Father, is that you always show us that you got us in ways, Father, we never even expected. Just like when our foreparents got to the river and thought that they could not cross. And you said to them through your servant Moshe, stand still and see the salvation of Yah. Father, there is nothing that is impossible in our lives, Father, if we believe and have faith in you, Father. But that's where we fall short, Father. Not where you fall short, Father, because we can't put that at your feet. We can't charge you with being unfaithful, Father. It's where we go astray. It's when we become unfaithful. It's when we become distracted from our walk and our relationship with you, Father, that these things come about. And sometimes these things come about in our life, Father, because you have to teach us certain things, because we are like your children, Father. We are your children. And like children, we have a whole lot of foolishness in us sometimes, Father, that your rod of correction has to drive out our behinds, Father. And we thank you for that too, Father. And Father, if I have forgotten anybody, thank you, Father, for healing Zakeem Ward. Thank you, Father, for taking through him and his procedure, Father. Hallelujah. I was shocked to see how quickly he shared that he had came through the situation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I thank you for how you've been using him to lead us in this preparation for what may come in this world in the not-too-distant future, Father. So we thank you, Father. Thank you for the healing of Zakeem Gary. We thank you, Father, for working in his life and the things that you're doing for him, Abba Yah. Father, we thank you for Brother Deuel and the things that you have been doing in his life, Abba Yah, how you have been strengthening his legs, Father. We thank you for that, Father, because we know that you have answered our prayers, Father, and you continue to answer our prayers, and you continue to let us know, Father, that you listen to us, Father. And sometimes we take that main line that we have to you for granted, Father. But, Father, we ask that you forgive us, Father. And, Father, I'm asking now as I close out my prayer, Father, that your spirit be here, Father, that you speak, Father, that whatever you know that I and your brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters, your children need, Father, that you give us that word, Father, through the examples that have been set forth by our mothers and by our fathers who have lived before us, Father, that walked before you. Beshem Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen, amen, amen. Shabbat shalom, family. I'm hoping that I am coming through clearly. If I am not, please advise as soon as possible. And welcome to the first of my six-week journey through the word of Yahweh. This is your brother Ahab All with Beth Yahweh Congregation, and this is Kol Elohim on Blog Talk Radio, and this is Study to Show Thyself Approved unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, family. Give me a second to get myself all set up. Told our brother Mara Alpha, let me know that I'm coming through clearly. And family, we're going to talk about faith, prayer, patience, and your deliverance, family. You know, I was going to include hope in that, but Abba said no, because if you hope, you will have faith. If you have faith, you're going to pray. But when you pray, you have to be patient. You have to be patient when you pray. You know, I was preparing for my upcoming lesson. So many thoughts were going through my mind. You know, Abba was talking to me, you know, giving me different things, having me go through different things. And again, you know, it hasn't been any secret to the members of our congregation. You know, and I did talk to my baby. You know, as a matter of fact, I had to see my baby just before I taught. You know, she had a little situation over in her apartment. The ox was in a ditch. I had to run over there real quick before. As a matter of fact, I'm coming fresh from over there. Just barely had enough time to get myself cleaned and prepared for the lesson. But hallelujah, you know, Abba woke me up early this morning, make sure I put all the finishing touches on the lesson. So, you know, just in case something did come up, and something did come up, and I was able to help my baby out. And it was very fortuitous because I wanted to talk about my baby, and I didn't want to talk until I actually spoke to her. And I said I wasn't going to get specific about things, but I did want to, you know, mention what Abba has done so far for us in regards to, you know, her health situation. And, you know, one of the things, I want to say beyond a shadow of a doubt, what Abba has been establishing in this situation, in my life, in her mother's life, and everybody who's been praying, all of our lives, members of our congregation who have been praying for her, that we have to be specific. We have to be deliberate. When we reach out to him and when we pray to him, we have to pray with conviction and intent. Our prayers to him cannot be generic. They can't just be basic old prayers to him. I mean, granted, there is a space for that. But when there's something that you are going through and it is heartfelt and it is gut-wrenching, like your child having potentially fatal illness, for those who may not know, my baby's heart currently, the right side of her heart, is operating at 10 to 15% capacity, the part that actually brings the life source, the O2, the oxygen into her blood, does not work 85 to 90% of what it should do. Think about that for 1 second. Her heart, that side of her heart, only operates from 10 to 15% capacity, right? And I thought that was significant within itself, the 10 to 15, right? She went for a scan. As a matter of fact, just over a week ago, Friday before last, she went for a diagnostic. And this was after, and I'm giving up a testimony. This is after, you know, the doctor that she went for her initial consult, you know, last time she was in the hospital, the doctor came in, and I just so happened to be there. And this is oftentimes where I don't like to go and sit with my baby while she's in the hospital, because to be honest, I don't have the strength or the capacity to be there and hear the bad news about, you know, about my baby. It's my babies, you know, any one of them. You know, I don't have the heart for it. You know, that's something that I leave up to their mother, because she's emotionally stronger than I am. I am not emotionally strong when it comes to any of my children and them being hurt. It could be something as simple as a scratch, and I can keep my presence of mind when they need me, but if I could take the pain, I'd rather take the pain and have them be okay. So anyway, last time she was in the hospital, you know, the doctor said, you know, he gave a really grim diagnosis, and he said basically, you know, that it's failing. That's all he said, and it was beyond, this doctor said it was beyond his capacity to help, that, you know, he was going to refer her out to a specialist. So, all right, cool. You know, I'm sitting there with my baby, we boo-hoo, and she, you know, and I'm up. And to hear my baby say, "Daddy, all I want to do is live. I just want to see my child grow up." That ripped my soul from my body. And I couldn't hold on. I held her. She held me. And we just sat there and cried. But the one thing that that was in my mind, say, you know what? And I took this from old Brother Brown. Mata'a, as they say amongst the Jews, a blessed memory. He gave me some good memories. And he had been in some grim and dire situations. So one of the things that I remember him saying, "You're not Yahweh. I serve Yahweh. And if he wants me to be healed, he going to heal me. And if he wants me to walk out this hospital, I'm going to walk out this hospital." And he had complete faith. Even up until his passing, all he did was call on Yah. "Oh, Yah. Oh, Yah. Oh, Yah. Oh, Yah. Oh, Yah." That's all he would say. "Oh, Yah. Oh, Yah. Oh, Yah." So I took a page from his book, because at first I was about to go deep, 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 deep down into the deepest oceans of despair. "Oh, Abba, how could this be?" No. No. Abba gave a different heart to me. And he said, "No, son, pray, talk to me." So I did. And my prayer was deliberate to Abba. I said, "Abba, wait a minute now. These doctors can only know," and I remember Pastor Mike saying this, "they're not mastering anything, because they're not the master over the body. They're just practicing." "It's all right, Abba, you are the master. You created this body. You created, the word says you knit each one of us that are yours together," literally. And when he says knit, he means knit, just like pearl one, knit one, pearl two, knit one, pearl two. That every molecule, every atom, every proton, every neutron that we are made up within our being, he deliberately put one together, two together, three together, four together. So if there is anything that is ailing us, or if there's anything that there's a deficiency, that the physician, that the doctors are unable to fix, seemingly or supposedly, he is able to fix. So that doctor referred my baby to a specialist down at Hopkins, right? And I say Hopkins because I work for the competition. So we went there. And this specialist, who specializes in both these conditions that my baby has, said, "Oh, you know what?" After she, you know, looked through her chart, went through different diagnoses, you know, she said, "Well, these are the worst case scenarios. You're either going to have to get a heart transplant, or you're going to have to get a pump. But because you have this other condition that attacks your cardiovascular system, we're a little leery of going through that, because we could go through the heart transplant, and then the next thing you know, your body rejects it because what the other condition you have attacks that part of the body, then we have the worst case scenario, the ultimate worst case scenario, right? So she gave us a glimmer of hope. Hallelujah. And that was Yahweh giving us a glimmer of hope. All right, bet. So, but she said, before we go through that, we got to go through this scan, right? So we go through and get the scan. This is, you know, fast forward now to last Friday. Goes through, and I believe it's called a cardiac catheterization. I should know that because that's one of the areas that my team, we transport patients to, the cardiac cath lab. So go to the cardiac catheterization. And, you know, sitting there, you know, waiting for, you know, for the procedure to come through. She finally comes out the procedure, you know. Her mom goes back and she comes out with what the doctor says. And thankfully it was her and not me because I tend to, you know, forget some of the finer details. When she comes out, she says that, you know, the doctor looked and said that her heart, after the heart attack that she experienced a few years back, wasn't, because usually when you have a heart attack, the heart tissue where the heart attack occurs dies. It's just dead. And he said, hear this out, family. He said that where they saw the evidence of the heart attack, that the tissue didn't look dead. That the tissue was still alive. And it just needed to be given the opportunity, for lack of a better word, for lack of a better term, to revitalize itself. And basically that part of the heart burning. Her mother looked at me. I looked at her mother and I said, I never heard anything like that before. I didn't even know that was possible. And she said, me neither. And we looked at each other and said, you know what that means, right? I said, yeah. There's hope, one. But now there's a journey that my child has to take. Because we knew of the spiritual implication of what that meant. Because each one of our children that were raised up in the faith weren't like their parents who didn't know Yahweh. I didn't get to know Yahweh until I was their age. I was in my 20s. Before then, I was a Christian, JC-ing it up. Not a born-again Christian, just, you know, just a regular old, you know, party-going, pork-eating, scrump-eating, you know, fornicating, you know, Christian. I wasn't no, you know, Bible thumper, you know, religious person. I wasn't like that. But I did grow up in the church. But our babies, our children, this is all they knew. They don't know what it's like to put lights around a Christmas tree. They don't know what it's like to wear a Easter suit. They don't know none of that. None of that. So whereas the first generation coming up, what we experience in this world, they have no clue about that. They don't know anything about that. They could almost be looked at as spiritual children of privileged children, because they know nothing about it. But that doesn't mean now that in their life they don't have to go through building a personal relationship, just as the first generation has been building a personal relationship, and me in my 50s still every day realizing how much further I have to go, how much more I have to learn, how much more I need to develop as a man, as a person, as a son of Yahweh. So now them growing up as children of privilege that know no different, they've got to go through their struggles. They have to go through their journey. They have to go through and understand their walk and how to build a personal relationship with Abba Yah for himself. So I talked to my baby. I said, you know what this means, baby? Because she had already acquiesced, because I heard her say it. Well, you know, we're going to see what they're going to say about this transplant. So in her mind, I'm looking forward to a heart transplant. But if the heart that Abba Yah already has on her body will work just fine, try him. Try Abba Yah and see if he will not pour out a blessing on you so much that you won't be able to stand. Her prayer and her cry was, I just want to see my child grow up. So be specific about that. My prayer is, I want you to see your child grow up. So my prayer to Abba was, Abba, you can fix the heart. You ain't going to let these doctors outdo you. You made the heart, Abba, so I know you know how to fix the heart. And Abba said, all right, I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to let you know the heart wasn't even really broken. In the sense of physically broken, maybe spiritually broken, but not physically broken to the part that it can't be repaired through a procedure. So whereas we went in that day expecting to hear, well, she may need a heart pump or she may need a heart transplant, we heard we might be able to reawaken that part of the heart that has fallen asleep. Ooh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So family, when prayers are solicited, when people cry out and people say, pray for me, and even though they may not be specific, and sometimes I think we should be very specific in our soliciting for prayer, because guess what? One will send 1,000 a fight. Two will send 10,000 a fight. We're going to go through this. I do have scriptures I want to read, family. I do have scriptures I want to read. I am going to go through some scriptures just to show that. And even though it was touched upon in a little bit, but I want to talk a little bit and give up a little bit of testimony. That when these prayers are solicited, you see, we have examples in scripture, and we're going to read about that today. With one man's prayer being sent up, it automatically, your prayer, if you're his child, he says, I'm going to answer your prayer. However, sometimes we know, by example of the scriptures, those prayers get delayed. But guess what? If one angel was in that fight, imagine now if another angel carrying the same type of prayer for the same person, for the same situation, is involved in that fight. Then another angel being sent up for that prayer is involved in that fight. Then another prayer being sent up by an angel is involved in that fight. Well, then guess what? That one person, that one prayer is not going at it mano a mano with that opposite, opposing force that is coming up against it. I remember one time, you know, put my brother out there. He always putting us out there. So I'm going to put my brother out there, Ariel, right? He always putting us out there, so I'm going to return the favor. He don't hold back. I'm going to talk about Ariel, right? So one day, you know, it's no secret that me and my brother was talking all the time, talking just about daily, right? On my way into work, now he's calling me on his way home. We had to readjust our schedule when we talk. So one time I was talking to my brother, right? And I picked Shalom Aki. I called him up, Shalom Aki. Shalom Aki. You know, now my brother's voice is already deep. He got the deepest voice in the congregation. But to hear his voice, Shalom Aki, I mean, that's literally what I heard. Like, he mustered up the strength to give me back that Shalom Aki, but that wasn't my brother. Because my brother, you like, Shalom Aleichem Aki, Shalom Aki. That's usually how he sounds. Shalom Aki. And I was like, man, what's going on? What's wrong with you? I'm all right. I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. What is wrong? So he opened up. Start talking. And as he start talking, I said, all right, my brother, well, what we got to do? We got to pray. We got to get in this fight. You ain't got to go at it alone. Let's do this. Let's get down and dirty. Let's get the guffing. Let's get the fighting. Let's get to doing this thing like Batman and Robin. Back-to-back fighting. Or let's get to doing this with the sword of the spirit, which is the word of Yah. What we got to do? Let's get back to back. Let's just stick our swords out. And if we back to back, your back is up against my back. My back is up against your back. Then nothing could come and stab us in the back. We got our swords for. All we got to do is just twirl around in a circle like a fan. And whatever comes among us, we're going to slice it. What we got to do? Or better yet, let's be like the Thundercats. You know, if anybody remembers the Thundercats, which was me personally, my all-time favorite cartoon, still love to watch it. My man Lionel picked up that sword and said, Thundercats, 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 ho! The fight was on. And everybody knows, you know, you had Panthro who come in with the nunchucks. And if you're too old to remember or too young to know, go back and look up the cartoon, The Thundercats. Now, you hear people use the term in the street, the Young Thundercat or whatever, but that was the bombest cartoon from the 80s. Better than He-Man, better than G.I. Joe, better than Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. I don't know one brother who grew up in the 80s during that era that did not know Thundercats, and it wasn't their favorite cartoon ever. And Panther was the man. Yeah, Lionel was cool, but Panther was cool. You had Chitauri, you had the twins, right? And once they all came together, one had the bow staff, one had the sword, one had the nunchucks, one had lightning speed, and then you had Snarf, who was just like, yeah, for comic relief. But once Panther came in, hi-ya! And with the nunchucks, and Lionel after he said the Thundercat, and he called them together, and they get to fighting. Could nothing stop the Thundercats. But that's what we are. When we come together, when we call each other into the fight, when we start to realize the power that we have in. One will send 1,000, two will send 10,000, and hopefully by permission through this journey, through this 5 weeks that I have, we will look at some specific examples where brothers got into the fight and couldn't nothing stop them. Once we call other brothers into the fight, as was stated last night, you can't do it by yourself. We war not against flesh and blood, but the principalities and powers of darkness in high places. We in the lowest of the low places on earth. Even the demonic realm that they are in are higher than where we are. They got power. And they're good at what they do. They're experts. Yahweh created them in their goodness to be experts at what they do. When they were good, before they fell, they didn't lose that knowledge. They didn't lose that power. They didn't lose that might. But we have something in our corner that is mightier than all of that. First and foremost, Yahushua HaMashiach. Secondly, we have each other, as was stated last night. But if you keep going at it alone, you know what you're going to get? Because see this, like my brother gave the example of boxing last night. And it's a contest of wills. Sure, it's a contest of skill. But it's so funny that I went through this week on YouTube. It was, they almost thought they won. And it was dudes who were beating another dude up, whether it was MMA, Muay Thai, you know, whatever it was, almost won the fight. But they say the most dangerous man in a fight is the one that's wounded, because then he gets desperate. He might just throw a punch out there to say, I got to save myself. And each one of them fights was just that. The other man was dinging him up, bop, 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 kick, 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 punch, punch, punch. But then the guy, as he was on the ropes about to go down, just said, you know what, I'm going to throw one last punch. Boom! He was almost about to get knocked out, and he went and knocked the other person out. But even a boxer has a corner with a cut man, with his coach. So he ain't fighting alone. He's in the battle, but he ain't fighting alone. You have a corner. You got corner men in boxing. In tag team wrestling, or even in solo wrestling, you have your coach. You have your team there. And we start talking about WWE wrestling, the entertainment. When you start talking about the tag team fight, even when you're fighting solo, you got whoever your manager is. We know from back in the day, Ted DiBiase used to always come in the ring and do something dirty. Captain Lou Albano would always throw a chin there. If his man was about to get pinned up, Captain Lou would always throw something in there to help him. So you ain't never fighting alone. Now, if you want to fight alone, if you want to be lone wolf, if you want to be lone soldier, so be it. Go out there and get beat up. Think that you can do it. Think that you can John Wick this. John Wick is a fantasy. Think that you can John Wick this faith. Think that you can John Wick these struggles you're going through. You can't. You're not going to be able to John Wick your way out of it. Eventually, what Abba is going to do is show you you cannot do it alone. Gershon Bendel used to say, no man is an island. You cannot do it alone. And the more you fool yourself into thinking you can do it alone, the more you're going to realize you can't. So again, you know, I wanted to give up and tell my family, thank you so much for your prayers, that your prayers did not go in vain, because the prayers that were solicited for my baby, they working. Now, show me your faith without works. I will show you my faith through my works. So now, my baby has to show forth the works of her faith by doing certain things that the doctor is telling her to do. She has to live a different lifestyle. She has to change her diet. She has to do certain things differently. And then we have to go through this procedure, which is dangerous within itself. But I believe with complete faith that Abba Yah has already healed her body, that he has already done what he needs to do. He's already given, first of all, for me, he's already given me all the hope. The fact that her heart is in that condition, he already gave me all the hope that I need. He already answered the prayer for me, because he's letting me know everything is just perfectly fine. There's certain things now that needs to be done. So hallelujah, Toda Abba Yah for that. And forgive me, family. I know I kind of yammered for a little bit about the situation. But, you know, as was stated last night, you know, you ain't got to fight alone. You see, this is where Satan gets us, because pride and ego says that, you know, my poop can't smell like other people's poop. So I'm not going to talk about what I'm going through.
Oh, man, I ain't going to let nobody know what was going on with me. You know what I'm saying? I'm a private person.
Well, guess what? Your privacy is going to bring you nothing but pain. And I can tell you that beyond a shadow of a doubt, because I was one of those people. I'm not going to tell you what's wrong with me. I'm not going to tell you that I got issues. I'm not going to tell you that. You know, I used to say, well, I'm my own best counselor. Well, guess what? My counselor failed me time and time again. And it wasn't until I started going to, because, see, I despise correction. I didn't want to be told where I was wrong. I didn't want to be told that I needed to change. I didn't want to listen to that. I wanted to live under the facade that everything was perfectly fine with me. But guess what? It cost me a lot of pain. You know, and I was sharing with my brother and brothers that the hardness of my heart cost me a lot of pain. And not just cost me a lot of pain, cost my family a lot of pain, my extended family a lot of pain. And my brother said, when we talked about, well, if we was on talking terms back then, I would have told you, well, you know what? Back then, I wasn't willing to open up. Back then, I wasn't willing to reveal. Back then, I wasn't willing to get naked, because I had to put this facade on. There wasn't nothing wrong with me. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm good, man. I'm cool. Everything I. But the more you do that, the more that you are in denial, the more you will continue to struggle with what you're struggling with, and you will never get redemption, salvation, or deliverance from it. Whether it's something you're going through by yourself, whether it's something you're going through with your spouse, whether it's something that you're going through with a brother or a sister, until the point that you're willing, doesn't mean you have to go into all the gory details. But if you want something specific from Abba Yah, you got to get deep down and specific. You can't be generic with Abba Yah. Not in all situations. Not when it comes down to situations where you need deliverance. If it's lust, if it's anger, if it's depression, you know, if it's whatever it is. You know, you have to get down and dirty. And I'll give y'all one more story, and then I'm going to hit the scriptures. You know, for those who have been with us since 847 Collinton Avenue, y'all know my story. Gershon Ben Daniel did a teaching one day, and he said, faith ain't when your refrigerator's full of food, and you got food, so much food, you can't even close your cabinet. He said, faith is when you look in that refrigerator and you don't see no food. Faith is when you ain't got nothing in your cabinets. But what you do is you clean your refrigerator. You clean out your cabinets knowing that Abba's going to fill it with some food. So, all right. Me and my wife at that time went home.
did exactly what Gershom Ben Daniel said to do. And as we finished wringing out the washcloth and the sponge and shut the cabinet and the refrigerator door, here came a knock at the door. Open it up, and who was it? My brother and my sister. And again, I was very prideful back then, very proud man. There's no way I was going to tell people that I couldn't afford to feed my family. No way I was going to tell anybody I couldn't afford to feed my family. So they had no clue. Gershom Ben Daniel had no clue at that time. But somehow, some way, the message got to a brother or sister who had just been shopping and had a little bit of extra. Now, they had a little bit of extra. They had a whole lot of extra. Came and dropped off bags of food. They had no clue. Not until afterwards. Had no clue. But Abba knew. And Abba said, I got you. Since you're too prideful, I got you. But since you did exercise some faith, I got you too. And here they come. First time I had scrapple, beef scrapple. First time I had breakfast beef was very good. And a whole lot of other things. But them bags filled up our refrigerator. So again, there is nothing, family, that if you don't go to Abba and be specific, give him minute details if you need to. And it's not that he doesn't know, but he wants to hear it from his child. Now onward to the scriptures, family. So again, faith, prayer, patience, and your deliverance. Your faith is exercised by your prayer. Your prayers test the strength of your patience. Your patience is rewarded when your deliverance arrives, family. Remember that, because that's important. Take that with you through your life. Faith, prayer, patience. Faith, prayer, patience. And give your deliverance some time. Let the process work. There's a saying that we have in business. Follow the process. Let the process work. Okay? So, I want to start off in Luke 17:5. I did tell you I was eventually going to get to the scriptures, right? Luke 17:5. Now, Abba wanted me to go in an entirely different direction. My mind was on Saul because we were talking about, mental illness. And when I start thinking about mental illness, we're talking about with my brother, I start thinking about, of course, there's a few samples. You have Nebuchadnezzar. You also have King Saul. So Abba was taking me on a journey with King Saul. But we know that Saul's life or his history is talked about in the book of Samuel. So I started looking some more into Samuel, in the book of Samuel, not just Saul. Let me tell you something. Beautiful, 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 beautiful testimonies in 1st and 2nd Samuel, especially about faith. But Luke 17:5, right? So Luke 17:5-6, the apostles, wait a minute. The apostles say this, 17:5 reads, and the apostles saith unto the master, increase our faith, right? So they wanted, to go through some things and before that, and he said, and they want their faith to be increased. And the master, Yahushua, said unto them, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, which is also a sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, in order to understand what he's telling them, you have to understand what a sycamine or sycamore tree looks like. Now, if you take the time to Google it and look it up, you will see that it's a very broad tree, and it has a root structure that actually thick, big roots that come out of the ground. And one of the things, of course, because of the scripture, you have people of faith who are going to dig even deeper. It has one of the deepest root sets among all the trees. Deepest root sets among all the trees. So what he's saying is whatever that issue is that is so deeply rooted, whether it's so deeply rooted within you or so deeply rooted within a situation, if you have faith enough, you can pluck that entire tree up, not just the trunk, but the entire root system of that tree, and tell it, go elsewhere. Real simple. But again, and you know, it makes me think about this movie. I remember the movie Fright Night, right? And when the man, Dr. Vincent, I think he was called, and the guy, when he finally discovered that it was the guy who was the vampire, right? Now, he had been an acting vampire killer, right? So he thought that he could pick up that tool, which was the cross. He picked it up and he pointed it at the vampire, and the vampire looked at it and laughed. He said, "You have to have faith for that to work on me." But the brother, the man that was with him, if y'all remember the movie Fright Night, right? He had a cross that he carried because of his faith. Now when he whipped that jammy out, he looked at it and he was like, "Whoa!" If y'all remember that scene, he looked at it and now he was shook, because now, and not that I'm saying believe in symbols, symbology, or any of that crap, because no, I don't believe in that crap. The point I'm making is, and I do mean crap, parash, doo-doo, dookie, I do mean that, that's what it is, because can't no item do, except for the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, can't no item do anything that is not backed by your faith. And that was the point of it, because they both had the same instrument, but the man who had faith in the instrument actually worked for him, as opposed to the guy who just had it as a prop. Because you have a lot of fakers out here who don't really have faith, and that's why things don't necessarily take place in their life. Point of the example, not the symbol. Because you could have a menorah in your house. You could have all that stuff in your house. You could have everything in your house. You could have everything in your house. But if the spirit isn't there within you, as Gershon Benyon used to say back in the day, it don't mean a hill of beans. So it's useless. But what is useful and what is profitable is your faith, your relationship, and how much you believe in the power of the Spirit of Yah. That's what's most important. Moving on to, I hope I finished reading it. Yes. So he said again, and the apostle said unto the master, increase our faith. And the master, Yahushua, said, if you had faith as grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. He didn't say obey me. It said it should obey you, apostles, you, disciples, you, Yaladim, you, Morays, you, Chazan, you, listener. Moving on to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. 14 through 21, family. Matthew 17, 14 through 21. And again, he says, and when they came to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Master, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. 17:17 reads, and Yahushua answered and said, O ye faithless and perverse generation. He talking to his disciples. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Bring him over here. How long? Look, I ain't going to be with y'all forever. At what point are y'all going to have that faith? At what point are y'all not going to be contrary to my teachings? At what point are y'all going to believe? So he says again, 17:17, then Yahushua answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer? How much are you going to put up with this? Bring him hither to me. Bring him over here. And Yahushua rebuked the devil, the demon, the evil spirit, the bad energy, the bad juju. He rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. 17:19, and this is the important part. Then the disciples came to Yahushua apart. They came to him privately and said, why could we not cast him out? What happened with us? What was wrong with us? And this is important. This is his response, 17:20. And Yahushua said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, because of your unbelief, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, and this is the second most important part of what he says here, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and by fasting. So now we're going to change up a little bit here, okay? Because yes, prayer is important, but again, by the very testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach, by from the very words of Yahushua HaMashiach, who we all claim to serve, one of the things that he says right here, sure, you can pray about certain things, but certain things you can't just pray about. Certain things you got to be willing to deny yourself for a period of time until that prayer is answered. But how many of us are willing to do that? You know, Abba gave us two hands to clasp together, two knees to bend, two lips and a mouth to pray out to him, two eyes to close, and to prostrate ourselves before him, and to kneel before Abba, our maker, and to cry out to him, right? But that can't just be it sometimes. It can't be. Sometimes it's got to be more. It's got to be more than that. There's got to be some sacrifice that goes along with that. But that's the difficult part now, because you know what? It's hard to give up that food. You talking to a fat boy foodie over here. It's hard to give up that food. It's hard to give up. It's hard to make changes. But are you really that serious about getting deliverance if you're not willing to fast and to deny yourself for it? Because that's what the word says. Obviously, when he told them that they were faithless and perverse, it had to deal with the fact that they weren't willing to do some of these things. Part of it was they weren't willing to pray enough. They weren't willing, or their prayers weren't. Scriptures say in James this, family. Ye ask, James 4:3 says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. And when you look at the term for asking amiss, you're asking out of order. You're going about your prayer the wrong way. Even the term from the very English should let you know you're missing something. Amiss. You're missing something in your prayer. You're missing something in what you're doing. And sometimes that part that you're missing is being willing to sacrifice. It's one thing to get down on your knees. It's one thing to clasp your hands. It's one thing to submit your prayer. But it's a whole other thing now to be willing to sacrifice your day-to-day routine, to be willing to sacrifice your lifestyle, to be willing to make changes. He said, and James is the same one. He said, show me your faith without works, but I'll show you my faith with my works. Part of the works of your faith is fasting. Part of the works of your faith is being willing to do, and it don't have to mean, because first, oh my God, I got to give up water. I got to give up juice. I got to give up soda. I got to give up pizza. I got to give up cheeseburgers. I got to give up vegetables. I got to give up all of that. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. But part of what you have to do is show you, Abba, you serious about what you're praying about, that it's a heart, that it's heartfelt and it's something that you really want. And you want it for the right reasons, because sometimes if Abba isn't answering a prayer, guess what? I believe there was a situation in the scriptures where there was a man who had an affliction, and the apostles asked him, why was this man afflicted? What did his parents do wrong? What happened wrong? And he said his parents didn't do anything wrong. The sins that are on this man aren't necessarily for the fact that somebody did wrong in his life. Right now, the reason why this man was in this affliction, so that you can see what I can do, you can believe in me, so that you can see the glory of Yah through what I'm about to do with this man. So sometimes Abba has an affliction upon you because he said, my strength is made great through your weakness. Just like what he said, what Paul had to testify. He said, I prayed, the brother just read, I prayed three times for Abba to remove this thing from me. But once I realized that his grace was sufficient enough for me, I became a fool in glorifying him with this affliction, saying, you know what? I love this affliction now. That's what Paul was saying. Whatever the affliction was, I love it now. I love this affliction now. You know why? Because now this affliction is showing, one, that he has mercy on me. Two, that he loves me. Three, that his mind, but he said it was sent to buffer him, to keep him humble. Slow down. Be humble. It was made to, it was, sometimes these things are brought upon us to keep us in a certain state of being with Abba. Can you glorify him through your pain? Can you glorify him through your struggles? Or are you just sunny days? Everybody loves them. But tell me, believer, can you stand the rain? Disciple, believer, Yaladim, Moreim, can you stand the rain with them? We're supposed to have thunderstorms today. Can you stand the rain with them? It's been the rainy season on record so far that we've had in a good long time. Can you stand the rain with them? Because it's easy to roll with him on sunny days. It's easy to roll with him when the road is a nice old paved piece of asphalt. It's easy to roll with him on that. But can you get back on, get down with him on some of these backwoods dirt roads? Can you roll with him on that the same way he rolled with us throughout the wilderness? Can you roll with him like that? Can you? Because if not, what is it all for? Because Beth Yahweh isn't called to be your average Joe believers. We ain't called to be no YouTube celebrities. We not. We not called to be out there to just doing this and parading this around for show. This ain't for play. This ain't for fun. This ain't for show. People are supposed to be able to see the change. They're supposed to be able to see the revelation of Yahweh in our lives. We ain't supposed to just be a bunch of fringes and then have a foul mouth. We ain't supposed to be a veil and a foul mouth. We ain't supposed to be have a veil of fringes on and be faithless. Because otherwise, we might as well just hook up with the rest of them. And that's on the strength. We might as well just hook up with the rest of them. If that's who we're going to be, but from the time Gershom Ben Daniel was led to establish this, he always said we were supposed to be different. And sometimes different means being different. We ain't going to be your garden variety set of believers that's out there, because they got them all over the internet. All you got to do is search one on YouTube and a gazillion will pop up. But you know, in all my searching, the one that never pops up, his servant. I got to go dig and find him by reason. Because the same way Gershom Ben Daniel used to say, I'm never going to put a sign on the door. Never. I don't want a sign on the door. Because I want who Yahweh wants to be here. And the brother gave up a testimony last night. The one who Yahweh wants to be here, Yahweh going to lead here. Who he don't want to be here, they may come and pop in and bow out. And it ain't necessarily because we're not teaching the word, we're not teaching the truth. Sometimes you can't handle the truth. And it's not that we haven't been in error, but if we amend our ways, if we correct what we're doing that is wrong, why not come back? Why not roll with us? It's not necessarily an issue with us, and we shouldn't take it on as being an issue with us. Sometimes it's an issue with Y-O-U, especially if you're pointing fingers. One of the phrases they teach us from the time we were 4 years old, every time you point one finger back at somebody, three fingers are being pointed back at you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So every time you want to look at somebody in Beth Yahweh and say, Beth Yahweh, brother, sister, brother, sister, brother, sister, brother, sister, brother, sister, Beth Yahweh, brother, sister. Guess what? They did the same thing to Yahushua HaMashiach. And the same thing is going to convict them. Father Yah, the name of his son Yahushua, and the spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, is always going to come back and convict us. Because if we don't teach the truth, excuse me, family, If we don't teach the truth, guess who's going to rebuke us? Guess who's going to deal with us? From the head down to the toes. Abba Yah. Anyway, I still have more scriptures, family. Forgive me. It's been a while and I miss talking to y'all. All right, we're going to go to the book of Daniel. Daniel, family, chapter 9. And this goes into, you know, how long are you willing to wait? How long are you willing to wait? Do you have the patience for your prayers? Are you as patient with Abba Yah as he is with you? So we're going to go to the book of Daniel. And we're reading two set of scriptures out of the book of Daniel. First set of scriptures is going to be Daniel chapter 9. Can't find it. My eyes stopped working on me for a second. Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to read from 1, almost the whole chapter, really, 1 to 23. So in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Now remember, we're in captivity in Babylon. First year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Yerushalayim. So he's counting the entire time of the captivity. Daniel back then, excuse me, it completely understood how long they were supposed to be in captivity. So Daniel is counting the years, right? And he's a prophet. And we know he studied the book of Jeremiah. And 9:3, and I set my face unto the master Yah to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. 9:4, and I prayed unto Yahweh my Elohim and made my confession and said, and that's why I say you got to be very specific. Listen to what he says. O master, the great and dreadful mighty one, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. That's your works. We have sinned. How often do you start your prayer with, I messed up, I'm in error, Abba Yah, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly? Or do you pray against the other person in situations? Back to 9:5. We have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. So they walked away from everything. They've been in error with everything. And Daniel is not excluding himself. He's saying, we, me, Daniel, a Hebrew Israelite, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets. We ain't listened to the prophets in thy name to our kings and priests and princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. Let me read that again. Neither have we hearkened unto thy name, unto thy servant the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. We ain't listened to the prophets who you sent to correct us. O master, 9:7, righteousness belongeth unto thee. You are righteous, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Yehuda, those who are called to praise Yah, and to the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whether thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O master, to us belongeth confusion of faces, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To our master, Yah, belongeth mercies, 9:9, mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of Yahweh, our Elohim, to walk in his Torah, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy Torah, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the Torah of Moshe, the servant of Yah, because we have sinned against him. So he's calling the book of Deuteronomy. And if you read the entire book of Deuteronomy, which is Moshe's espousal of what Abba had told him, this is Deuteronomy is Moshe in his own words, what Abba had told him, what he had written down in Genesis, Exodus, in particular, Leviticus, and Numbers. Deuteronomy is that. And one of the things he said, I know y'all. I know as soon as I close, before I even close my, if y'all was disobedient while I was with y'all, I can't imagine what y'all going to be like when I die. 9:12. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. So he's saying we messed up. 9:13, as it is written in the Torah of Moshe, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before Yahweh, our Elohim, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Guess what? Your prayers, if he ain't answering them, check yourself. If you feel like your prayer isn't being answered, check yourself. Search yourself. See why your prayer isn't being answered. Ask why. Ask within yourself sometimes. If my prayer is not being, why, especially if it is something that is troubling you. Sincerely troubling you. Not something that is a prayer after your own lust. Like, why ain't I hit the lotto? Is the lotto that important? Why ain't hit the numbers? Is the number that important? Because your prayer should be about more lofty things. The kingdom, getting into that kingdom, and being in his presence every day, and having his mercy every day. 9:14, therefore hath Yahweh watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For Yahweh, our Elohim, is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Master, our Elohim, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. They hear that, don't it? But it's the truth. O Master, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, and he gets specific, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins, and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now, therefore, O Almighty One, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for Yahweh's sake. O my Elohim, incline thy ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Master, hear. O Master, forgive. O Master, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my Elohim. For thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And see, that's important because Abba's name has to be made great. Abba loves his name. He wants his name to be renowned. He wants his name to be great. Everything that he does for his name's sake. That's why the name is so important and getting that name right. And that's why that name, Hasatan, and I ain't even going to put that on Hasatan. You know what Abba is doing? By allowing certain people to believe his name and certain things, he wants to weed out the fakers, period. Simple as that. Even though they may have good testimonies, they may sound real good, they may have good First of all, he says in his words this, if there arise among you a dreamer of dreams and what they dream come to pass. So he's letting us know right straight off the bat that there are going to be people out there that can speak a whole lot of good stuff. They can bring forth prophecies and all that. They can see things and all that. The litmus test for them is, which way are they leading and guiding you? 9:20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Yisrael and presenting my supplication before Yahweh, my Elohim, for the holy mountain of my Elohim, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Now, we're going to read one more situation in Daniel. But we see right there that he's giving us testimony that when we say our prayers and we are specific in our prayers, that our prayers reach him and are answered swiftly sometimes. But now we're going to see in the very next chapter, sometimes it don't always work that way. We're going to stay in Daniel, right? Daniel chapter 10, and we're going to start at verse 1. Because some things happen with just praying. Some things are going to happen. What's up, Dre? Are going to happen with prayer and with fasting and with patience. Knowing that there is a process towards all of this. Okay, so we're going to Daniel, family, and this will wrap it up. In the third year, Daniel 10:1, family. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, and notice how he marks the specific times and who is ruling. So we know there was an era where Darius was the king over Babylon, and then there was an era when Cyrus was king over Babylon, right? In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. Think about the end time prophecies, right? Do we understand that these end time prophecies that were predicted or seen by Daniel happened thousands of years ago that were revealed to him? And the process is still being worked out. As my brother coined the phrase, we are still in biblical times. That it's not done yet. His work isn't done yet. Do we understand that? The beauty of this time is it seems like we're seeing certain things unfold. But anyway, that's a whole nother thing, right? 10:2. I'm going to go back and read 10:1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. So he understood and had understanding, but there were still some things he needed, right? In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. He was down. Another way, when you look into this, it doesn't just mean he was mourning. He was depressed. His spirit was low. His spirit was down. 3 full weeks. And he said, I ate no pleasant bread. You ever been so down? Did you had no, you didn't want to eat? He said, I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So he gave some things up for 3 full weeks. How many of us sit down and pray and expect the prayer to just automatically be answered? But he says right here, and we're going off of what took place in the other chapter, where it said, I prayed about this and it was answered immediately. So imagine now in this situation, and we're going to see the end result of it. Imagine now in this situation, what he's doing, what he's going through, and how he's feeling. Waiting for this prayer to be answered. Again, back to 10:3. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 weeks were fulfilled. 10:4. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. 10:6. His body was like the beryl. His body. You look at beryl. Beryl is a red stone, and his face as the appearance of lightning. Just imagine what he's seeing now. Now he's got on a golden linen. That's his garment, but his skin, his body, the parts that he can see that are exposed are red like beryl stone, and his face, the appearance of lightning. Do we see where they get these images from in the comic books? Just imagine this. If you believe it, I believe it, because I'm crazy like that. I believe it. His body was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps. First of all, his face is like lightning, and his eyes are like lamps of fire. He got like fire glowing out his eye sockets. And his arms and feet like in the color to polished brass. And this is the part. And the voice of his words were like the multitude, the voice of a multitude. So he's not just hearing what sounds like one voice, but like it's loud like a whole bunch of voices. 10:7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. So you know like how in the movies when Superman drops on the ground, so when this angel landed, boom, it thundered. And when they heard the thunder, they couldn't see it. They felt the impact. They ran because they were like, whoa, what's that? Dig the scene with me, family. Let your imagination flow. This was the entity that was sent to Daniel. And this is a minor angel, which we're going to find out. Look at what he looks like. And the power that he had, that when he landed, it said, boom. And they ran and hid, because all they heard was the impact. They not seeing what Daniel's seeing, right? And again, it says 10:7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so they fled to hide them. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. My man fainted. He passed out. 10:9, yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face. My man face down. And my face towards the ground. My man face down in the ground. 10:10, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So think about it. Now he touching him, right? Now, I got hit in the stomach so hard one time, I had to get a stand and eight count. When you down on your hands and knees, you down there because you're trying to get yourself together. So just imagine that. Angel had to touch him to start giving strength back to his body, because when you're on your hands and knees, you're trying to get your strength back in your body. 10:10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said, 10:11, he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Look at how the angel entreats him. Man, you are so loved. You are greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright now. Boom. Get up. You can stand up now. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. 10:12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from this day, Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before Yahweh, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So he's letting them know. He's giving, man, your prayer was answered from the very moment you sought this understanding. Your prayer was answered. But now he's going to explain to him, which we know the story, what took so long. And again, are you patient enough to wait? Do you have the patience enough to wait? one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 21 days, a month, a year? Or do you have the patience to work? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to do what is necessary to do in order to receive the deliverance that you want? Because if not, don't waste your time praying. It ain't always a quick fix. We see one example where it was instantaneously answered. But now we're seeing something different here to the same man that points to us too. This is a testimony for us too. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before your mighty one, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. 10:13 reason. This is important. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So that's a 21-day fight this angel was in. A super being whose skin was like beryl, whose face was like lightning, whose eyes were like flames of fire, who when he landed, it caused the earth to quake. When Daniel being in his presence caused him to lose all his strength. And even when the angel said, stand up and get back on his feet, he quaking. Like in Scooby-Doo, you know in Scooby-Doo, when the ghost comes out and he's like, he quaking like that. But he's letting him know, he's assuring him, yo, your prayer was answered 21 days ago. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. I was in a fight. We war not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in dark places and high places, family. But lo, Michael, not Gabriel, Michael, one of the chief princes came to help me. I had to get the chief, one of the chief princes, the ones who had the sir in their name, unto El, Gabriel, the warrior of El, Michael, who is like unto El, Raphael, who the healer of El. They have a particular element of the mighty one. That's why their name ends with the El, because they have that same, they have a portion of that might. Like what my brother said last night, they have a port. That's why their names are specifically El at the end of it. Michael, Gabor, El, Rapha, El. And even the ones we learned in Enoch that were the fallen ones, they had an element of El in them, that might, that power in them. Now it's just corrupt and darkened. But as my brother stated last night, they masters of what they do. The only thing that we can do is have mastery over prayer and supplication and patience. And assurance that our prayers will be answered. The very moment that we say, if y'all seeing it on the ground, all the violence and warfare that's taking place, guarantee all the violence and warfare is taking place in the heavens first. Because that's where it always starts first. What we see going on between Ukraine and Russia starts there first in the heavens. What we see going out on the streets, these demonic, because brothers are demonic. If you can kill a woman that's with child, what does that say about your soul? If you can kill a woman that is pregnant, what does that say about your soul? If you can kill an elder, if you could live stream the murder of an 80-some-odd-year-old woman, and when you look at the mugshot, you see somebody who just an angry soul. How could you have that much hate in your heart to see an elderly woman and say, I'm going to put up? Anyway, I'm not going to get off into that. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me and remain there with the kings of Persia. So he got into the fight. Boom, bap, bow, boom, bap. You go ahead. You got a mission to take care of. I got this. That's how it went down. Michael came in and said, you know what? You got a mission. You're on a mission. I got this right here. I can handle him. So Sometimes you got to call a brother that's more spiritually mighty in the fight for you. Sometimes you got to tag a brother in. Those who are strong got to look out for those who aren't as strong at the moment. 10:14, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. So that was what Daniel wanted to understand, fam. That's what he wanted to know. He wanted to know what's going to happen after I'm gone. What's going to happen to the people down the line? He's talking about us in this generation. No. So anyway, family, I'm going to stop there. I could go on, but I'm not. Abba said, that's it. So maybe next week we will talk about faith, prayer, patience, and your deliverance, like a part two. I'm not sure if that's what Abba wants to do. To be honest, this came at 3:00 in the morning. I had something entirely different that I wanted to talk about. But oftentimes what happens is when the lesson comes the night before, whether it's Brother Yarrell or whether it's Brother RL, I would say, you know what, I got something I need you to talk about this to turkey back off of that. And that's what he did. He woke me up at 3:43 this morning and said he wanted to give this lesson right here. Even though throughout the week he was giving me other stuff, hallelujah, let his perfect will be done. I just want to be a vessel, hallelujah. So family, if there's any questions, any comments, please, by all means, do not hesitate to reach out to me, your brother Ahab, or one of the other brothers who you may feel more comfortable with. Not a problem. Talk to them. Then anything that you got, whoever is that brother that you feel you got that connection with, don't hesitate to reach out at all. Call. If you're going through something, put your prayers out there. If there's something that you need, if there's something that you're struggling, if there's something that you're hurting with, I mean, we know the situations that we know about, but if there are situations that we don't know about, put it out there. Don't be ashamed. We all go through a struggle at some point, family. We all do. There's no shame in struggle. There's no shame in falling down. There's no shame in it. Those who know my history, those who have been in it, know that, did I fall? Did I slip in the mud? Did I get dirty? Oh, absolutely. But hallelujah, by his mercy, by his grace, and by his kindness, here I am with you all today. Despite being the dirty, sullen man that I am, I'm here with y'all today. And hallelujah, thank you, Abba, for your mercy and your kindness. So again, if you got anything that you want to reach out to any of the brothers, by all means, please. Do not hesitate. If there's something that you're struggling with, by all means, please reach out. Do not hesitate. Closing out now, family. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Toda Abba Yah, for the word that you have shared with us this day, Abba Yah, thank you for your continued mercies, Father. We ask for mercies for the rest of this Shabbat day, Father. Father, continue to lead us and guide us, Father. Continue to be patient with us, Father. Continue to show mercy unto us, Father. But, Father, also we ask that you heal us, Father. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us, Father, whether it's great, whether it's small, or in between, Father. And we just ask, Father, that you spare all of our lives so that we can fellowship once again. And, Father, we ask that you spare our lives, Father, that we can keep the Shabbat once again, Father. We ask that you safeguard us through this week, Father. We ask, Father, that whether we are coming together today or whether the weather would not permit, Father, that your spirit of shalom, your Shabbat shalom, be upon all of us. B'Shem Yahushua HaMoshiach. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Love you all.
Sit back and think, remember my ways. Oh, searching for some freedom, searching for some freedom. So I'm tender, sing them songs to spark memory. What is a man with no history? Where am I? Who am I? What is this place? We're just spinning in space.
One tiny moment.